Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
For this week's industry review, we're going to look at the stock market. What it actually is, what drives it up and down, and why it matters, even if you've never bought a share in your life. From interest rates and inflation to global tech giants and pension funds, we're going to try and unpack how money really moves through the system and who's making the big decisions behind the scenes. Joining me to make sense of all of this are three experts with very different perspectives on how markets work today. Delighted to welcome Rory Gillen. He's an investment strategist at Quilter Cheviot. Aidan Donnelly is the head of global equities at Davy. And Catherine Hannan is an investment manager with RBC Brewer Dolphin. You're very welcome to the programme, one and all. Now, I was joking earlier before you came in about the difference between a stock manager, or a stock broker, and a wealth manager. Rory Gillen, you might explain the difference to me if you would.
Well, if you go back in time a bit, Bobby, a stockbroker is, you know, somebody who's a broker of stocks, as in a salesperson of stocks. And the industry grew up around that, but it's probably fair to say it's matured, or probably been forced to mature a little bit by regulations, because there is a lot more risk around selling individual stocks, how to justify it, and is there's less risk around a proper sort of broad wealth management offering, which is less about turnover and more about the owning the assets.
All right. You, Rory, yourself compare investing to learning to drive a car. What are the basic principles that every first-time investor should understand before getting started?
Well, it's why I use that analogy is because when if you're going to drive a car, you take some lessons and you learn how to drive. And then, you know, you get out on the road and you pay attention to the risks, whether that's the car beside you, whether it's the traffic lights or whatever. You mitigate the risks. You learn how to mitigate them. You don't get a guarantee that you're not going to have an accident. It's the same with the investing in markets which have risk. You have to learn how to approach it. You have to understand what the risks are, and you have to understand how to mitigate those risks over the medium to long term. Yeah. That's why I use that analogy.
Aidan Donnelly, head of global equities at Davy, you say that there are two things ultimately that drive the stock markets. One is company earnings and the other is interest rates, and that they're really the two key factors that one should pay most attention to.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Company earnings are the primary driver of it. And I think when you look at any individual stock or a group of stocks, you know, you want to, if a share price is going to go higher, it needs to be generating more and more more and more profits. Okay, and then on the other side of it, some people say it's interest rates. You know, or there's ultimately it's the valuation that the stock is put on. So it's whether it's the PE multiple or EBITDA. We have all of these different phrases that we use and different measures that we use. But they're the two things that drive it. It's your valuation and it's your corporate earnings. Now it's very, very important. I always say that. Like two sides of the one coin, you can't consider one without the other. So you can't just focus on companies that are going really, really highly if they're very expensively valued. In the same way, you can't look at really, really cheap stocks if they're not growing any earnings. So it's about the balance between the two, and I think that's key when you're looking at individual names, never mind looking at an overall portfolio.
Yeah, and the stock market and the valuations you talk about, they get spooked by various things. Things that you would think maybe don't have an effect on valuations. You know, strangely, like if you look at the US Stock Exchange at the moment, in the middle of all sorts of wars and everything, it just seems to be going from strength to strength, almost at an incredible level.
Yeah, but that's because the earnings growth, the corporate profitability continues to be very, very strong. Now, there will people that will argue that, well, that profitability is very concentrated in a certain amount of companies that are tied to AI and data centres and all things like that. But so is the performance of the market has been very concentrated in those same sectors as well. And just they've become very, very big sectors in the overall market, and therefore they have a disproportionately large impact on the overall market.
Yeah. Catherine Hannan, you're very welcome to the programme. And again, somebody who's in the business. As an investment manager, How do you balance protecting client wealth with trying to achieve long-term growth? And I know you always talk about long-term in, I suppose, very uncertain markets.
Yeah. Like, it's such a good question. It's a fundamental point that you start your conversation with clients. Like, we're all humans. We all have concerns about our businesses, our families, our life, what's going on in the world. So to try and get an investor or a client to focus on what their objectives are over the long term is kind of the key starting point. And you have the conversation with them that over that period of time, we're going to see a lot of change in the markets. You're going to have good days, good years, bad days, bad years. And it's not that it's a trick, but it's to remind them that their objectives still stand, that we're focused on the long term, and that over the long term in general, investment markets tend to go up. We're not going to see the big numbers that we see maybe over the last year or two, Bobby, but in over the long term, they tend to.
And if you tend, if you take whatever, you know, the last 50 years, I think there's hard evidence there that investing in the stock market has been a good thing to do.
Yeah. And, you know, there's lots of charts that show you, they call it the wall of worry, is that, you know, you if you take a long term look at that kind of ascent of stock markets over the last 80, even 100 years, there's so much volatility along that journey. Like, we've had everything from just over the past couple of years, Brexit, COVID, presidential changes in major countries that haven't been received well, and markets have reacted positively and badly to those. But in the aggregate, over the long term, stock markets have shown that they are a very reasonable place to be to grow your personal capital and preserve it over the long term.
Yeah, yeah. Aidan, you've been trading in the stock market, what, since 2005? So you're a long time at it. What do you say to somebody who's a bit nervous about the whole... Well, you know, because it's a bit like, you know, it's a bit like going to your mechanic or whatever. He knows about the engine, you don't. But everybody has a view on food at a local restaurant. But this is a specialist skill. It's an important business because people's livelihoods are at stake. No one likes losing money. And, you know, and I suppose ultimately lots of people are out to try and make money. And as Catherine says, different people have different ambitions, and it probably is important to understand where somebody's coming from an investment perspective.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, Bobby, whether it's 20 years ago or whether it's today, a saver has two choices in life. It's bank deposits or it's the stock market. In Ireland, people tend to think that there's property, but remember, if you're investing in a property, you have to already have the lump sum.
Yeah,
or else you borrow, and we know where that went in Ireland from 2002 to 2007. It was an absolute disaster. So borrowings and wealth management don't go together.
But bank deposits haven't given any sort of
that's why you look at the alternative.
20 years, have they?
Yeah, but like you see, people ultimately think when they think about the stock market, they think of it as risky, right? And there's a difference between something that's risky and something that's volatile, right? The stock market is volatile, but if you invest over and you have a proper 10, 20, 30 year time horizon, right? As Catherine said, you look at any 10, 20, 30 year period since, you know, the last 100 odd years, right? You've probably, the stock market is very rarely down on a 10, 20 or 30 year period, right? But I can tell you for a fact, if you put your money in cash, it won't be volatile, but the risk is its purchasing power will be completely destroyed because inflation. Yeah. That's a guarantee, right? Mm-hmm. So on a 10-year period, a 20-year period, or a 30-year period, we can all think back and say, you know, how much was a 99 10 years ago? How much was it 20 years ago? How much was it 30 years ago? It was a damn sight less than it is today, which means that your cash is not buying the same amount. So although it might seem that it's less volatile, it's actually more risky to your wealth if you have that 10, 20 or 30 year time horizon by just parking it in the bank because you're just not getting the return.
So what you're saying then is if you don't invest, you're losing.
You're losing real value, your purchasing power. And I think the other thing that Catherine kind of alluded to in terms of different people, the most important thing is getting that, sitting down with your advisor and getting a financial plan, right? And putting it in place and going, right, what do you want to achieve with this money? How long have you got for it? What's your risk tolerance, all of that? Because you know, as we climb the wall of worry, there's going to be every day, every week, every month, there's going to be a reason to be worried about something in the stock market, right? If you panic out of it because there is, oh, this thing happened or that thing happened, right? You'll never have an optimum outcome. Whereas if you have your financial plan and you stick to your financial plan, the only reason your financial plan should ever change is not because the markets change, it's because your own circumstances change and suddenly you go, actually, I'm trying to achieve something different with it.
Yeah. Catherine, what do you think most people actually misunderstand about what professional investment managers actually do on behalf of clients? What's the perception out there
that we
about what you guys versus the reality?
Yeah, fancy braces, as Aidan said. Yeah, maybe too many versions of The Wolf of Wall Street watched on a Friday
long
night.
And all
yeah,
that stuff.
No, I'm afraid it's nowhere near as glamorous or exciting as that. I'd probably say, you know, maybe there's a lot of curiosity, but probably maybe a lack of insight into what we do on a day-to-day basis and how we work with people and how we kind of preserve and grow wealth over the long term. You know, I think equity investment in Ireland is probably still a reasonably new phenomenon for investors. Like, I think if you look at cultures like the UK or the US, we have such a long history of PLCs and family worked for companies and they received shares. It was such a more common language in a household. Whereas in Ireland, and going to Rory's point earlier, we have such a great affinity with property, and that has worked out for some people and it hasn't worked out for other people. Whereas equity investment, I think, is reasonably new. But you know, going to the point about how connected the world is and even investors using AI tools now to ask questions and make it more accessible, I think people are becoming more current in different types of investments. And there's probably, you know, perhaps some aspiration that there could be an element of DIY, that I can do this on my own. But often when we meet people that have started off perhaps doing a bit of investment on their own, they're possibly in the wrong structure. They're possibly overexposed.
You need to know what you're doing.
You do need to know what you're doing. Yeah.
Rory, in terms of that kind of risk around investment, what do you say to people who have never invested before, who've retired and present and say, okay, you know, and they're in a space that is pretty unfamiliar to them. They've been given this lump sum. They're of a particular age where they need to, I suppose, hold on to what they have rather than, you know, be speculative or...
Yeah, there's a big open-ended question there, right? But can I just switch back for 1 second? Right?
Yeah.
You have a business show, right? Like, at the end of the day, the capital that you employ in business or industry makes a higher return than bank deposits. That is the essence of why the stock market works. It makes a better return. If that was not the case, no businessman would ever invest in his business, right? So you have to have a fundamental principle. Why does it work? It works for a very simple reason. If you didn't get a better return on the capital employed in industry, nobody would do it. So it's really, you know, there's risk and risk has to be compensated. Now, when you then go on to say, well, how do you talk to somebody who's retiring? Well, you could go all the way back to somebody who's just starting off. And you say the person who's starting off, it is so simple for them because they will be investing over their lifetime. And the concept of them not coming out with the return would be remote. It's somebody who has a lump sum at retirement. They have two choices, take risk or lower the risk. And a wealth manager can definitely help them in that area. How do you lower risk? Well, you go from pure equities, bank deposits.
Yeah.
You can cut the cake or cut your plan accordingly. You lower the risk. If you haven't got the timeline that's required, you know, the likely 5 to 10 year timeline that we always talk about in the industry.
I think Catherine sort of alluded to it there, but there are a big sort of cohort of society who don't like talking and don't like dealing with financial matters. And they're the people that probably need the most help. Mm. And often they're the people who won't present themselves for advice.
Yeah.
Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of changes that are going on. I do think the auto-enrollment in terms of pensions thing is a great thing, right? Because there's always, everybody's kind of going, oh, well, there's always a worry, a worry. The reality is, the earlier you start on your investment journey, the longer you've got by default.
Yeah. And even if stuff goes wrong, you can rebuild.
Even if stuff goes wrong in the first 5 years, yeah, it doesn't matter. If you're starting your pension at 23 or 24 years of age, you've got 40 years. Right? There's no chance in hell that the money you invest at 23 years of age isn't going to be higher in 40 years' time. It just, you know, if you invest even in, you know, very safe stuff, in what is perceived to be a bit more riskier stuff, but still quoted on the stock market. So I think that's a really good thing. I think the other thing, you know, when we eventually get the savings accounts up and running with the government, again, like, the thing that's most important about the stock market is always to remember, you know, it's not about trying to time the stock market. So it's not about timing the stock market. In mug's game, it's about time in the market. The longer you have in the market, the better the outcome is going to be for you.
Last word to you, Catherine. Is AI a threat to this model?
Is it a threat? I don't think it's a direct threat, Bobby. There's pros and cons. There's elements of AI that are going to be beneficial to us as practitioners, and there's elements of AI that are going to be beneficial to clients in terms of democratizing product, access to product, information, evaluation of the information. So like so many industries, Bobby, AI is coming, AI is here, and the question is how you use it and can you use it to your benefit?
All right. Well, look, it's a great look into the world of the stocks, the shares, and the people behind it. Thanks to Rory Gillen, Aidan Donnelly, and Catherine Hannan for your contribution.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.